How much fraud are we talking, Lee?
No.
Because ultimately, I think the Democrats are using the violence, the street protests to distract from this. And it did get kind of buried over the weekend. Scott Bessent, our Treasury Secretary, we're now finding out. Remember, he gets sworn in right by the Senate and goes to what's supposed to be his job at the Treasury, where most of the payments are made. You know, the payments that go out, federal budget and stuff. Mm-hmm. The bureaucrats who've been there for like decades, they won't let him into the computer system. That's weird, right?
Seems kind of odd for the person who is over the agency, doesn't it?
Yeah. And what ends up happening is practically hand-to-hand combat. They refuse to give him the passwords. He's like, dude, I just got sworn in by the Senate. I'm responsible for these payments. I got to be able to see him. Democrats' position was, no, you don't. Huh? He's the Treasury Secretary. Why are you suing to keep the Treasury Secretary from seeing the payments? Because remember, he came in with Doge. Doge, they were duly certified federal employees on the payroll. Democrats sued. And they had to just start firing people or accepting their resignations who wouldn't turn over the passwords. Doge, remember, was going to break into the Treasury when finally, basically, a mid-level bureaucrat's like, okay, you can have the passwords to see the payments. We've never seen this before. And remember Elon Musk warning about 20% of the payments going out were fraud? Mm-hmm. And then they started burning down Tesla dealerships. Well, now we know why. Here's Scott Bessent, our Treasury Secretary, over the weekend saying, somewhere on the order of $300 to $600 billion in fraud a year. What?
You recently mentioned you think there are between $300 and $600 billion in fraud every year of federal funds?
That's not my number. That's the General Accounting Office. So it's about 10% of the federal budget, 1% to 2% of GDP. And if we can narrow that number, President Trump asked for a $500 billion increase in the defense budget to fortify 10, 20 years of neglect and the forever wars that we've been involved in that he's determined not to get us into. That if we need to flex up our military budget, if we can get rid of this waste, fraud, and abuse, we can finance a safer, sounder U.S. without taking on more debt. It sounds pretty good outcome to me.
$300 to $600 billion in fraud a year.
Yeah.
A year. I mean, that boggles the mind. Over the weekend, Lee, this broke, and a lot of stuff got covered up by the marching, the violence, and the chaos that the Democrats are driving their sheeple to with lies. And I think they're doing it because they know it dominates the news, and this stuff doesn't get covered. I mean, there's so much of this over the weekend. Like, I don't even know where to begin. But I thought we could start in a new place that is not Minneapolis, because we went out at the end of the week with one of the most incredible stories I've ever read to you. John Solomon, former reporter for The Hill, reporting for Just the News now. $700 million cash going out of the Somali airport in cash. I'm sorry, out of the Minneapolis airport to Somalia in cash in the last 2 years. Lee, they're moving $1 million in cash a day on average out of that airport. $700 million in 2 years. Higher than we thought. $349 million just in 2025. Almost $1 million a day. Cash. That's the size of the fraud, right?
Yeah.
And you think about it, that's probably about right if we're looking at $600 billion worth of fraud stolen from the stolen from the American people a year. Okay. Here's Paul Guppy. He's with an investigative organization in King County, Washington. That's Seattle. And for a couple of years, like in Minneapolis, he's been trying to draw people's attention to the, wait for it, $2 billion theft by their Health and Human Services, same agency. It goes out the door to Democrat NGOs, no receipts, When finally receipts are requested by the legislature's auditor, they make them up and backdate them. Are they real? No. They just made them up. They're fraudulent.
Yeah.
And so what you're seeing, Lee, is the same thing that we're seeing in Minnesota, where the bureaucrats who are legion. Funny, Satan says that about his minions, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, the bureaucrats who are legion are all in our, it's not like one bureaucrat, right? They are committing fraud. They are falsifying documents to hide where the money went. This is your money, by the way, federal money, $2 billion missing. King County, Washington, Paul Guppy.
They apparently have misplaced $1.8 billion. Maybe they should look in the seat cushions or something and find out where that went. But the Department of Community and Human Services issued grants in 2023, 2024, a new audit shows, in which they don't know where this money went. Much of it went to recipients that were not authorized to receive it. They paid invoices and didn't get receipts for that. The documentation was actually altered when this money was distributed. It went to programs like healing racism grants, family intervention grants, restorative community pathways, kind of gobbledygook sometimes. That's hard to tell exactly what this money is being spent for, even if it were being spent legitimately. So the auditor's report in King County is fairly damning on where this money went. What is the response from our leadership? It's pretty weak. They have not implemented the formal recommendations of the King County auditor, number one. Number two, and most importantly, nobody got fired. Nobody lost their job. There has been no impact on the political careers of people who serve on the King County Council.
So just to recap there, okay? Last 2 years, $1.8 billion. Poof!
Yeah. So exactly what do you think would happen in a company if you have someone who's responsible for writing the checks for your company and you ask them, where did the money go? It's like, I don't know. And there's an audit and says, oh, you've lost, you know, several hundred million dollars here. Where'd it go? I don't know.
They call the police and you end up on WYFF.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You've done those stories, right?
Oh, yeah.
She stole $1 million over 20 years from the bank where she works. And then you know her name and her mugshot and all that. Yeah. Democrats, $1.8 billion, 2 years, ain't no big deal.
Hey, run for Congress.
Yeah, no, why not? Here, okay, this here's the same thing. We're seeing Democrats again. This is Auditor Judy Randall on the legion of Tim Walz employees who are falsifying documents to hide billions that have gone missing. This time, we're back in Minnesota.
This was definitely the most egregious thing I have seen, maybe in my whole time working at OLA.
Office of the Legislative Auditor released a damning report finding state employees fabricating records to cover up mismanagement of money. Tax money.
That's fraud.
It's another black eye for the State Department of Human Services.
27 years with the Office of the Legislative Auditor, a statement like that from Judy Randall means something. After past suspicions, she says her most recent audit proved state workers were fabricating documents to cover up mismanagement of taxpayer money.
So these documents should exist. They didn't. We asked for them. All of a sudden, they now exist. And in at least one case, it was created wholesale and backdated by 2 years to give the impression that it had always been there and been done on time.
The OLA audited the Behavioral Health Administration within the Department of Human Services, which issues grants, nearly $200 million of taxpayer money each year, to addiction and mental health service providers.
Okay, so that is a local Minneapolis television report. And so she is the auditor for the state legislature. And she's like, yeah, these Tim Walz employees, they just fabricate stuff to cover it up. That's fraud. If you do that corporately, like you were saying, oh my gosh, got to help you.
Yeah, you're going to be prosecuted. You're going to be in jail.
Speaking of, I know have been reporting on, just to do this very quickly because we don't have a lot of details yet, the Greenville police officer.
Yeah, that was ambushed in the parking lot of the Greenville Law Enforcement Center.
What do you make of that? Have you heard anything? Like, is this...
Not yet. To me, the question will be, is there some connection between the shooter and the officer that was shot at. That's what I want to. Was this simply an angry citizen that was just mad at law enforcement and decided to take it out right there, or was this someone who had a personal connection to that individual? That I don't know. That's the question I have in my mind from an editorial standpoint. From a news standpoint, makes no difference. I'm quite honestly, personally, glad that the Greenville County Sheriff's Office was able to locate. And then when this person decided to fire upon Greenville County Sheriff's Office deputies, they fired back. The exact cause of death of the suspect still not known. An autopsy will reveal that. So whether they died at their own hand or from the gun of a Greenville County Sheriff's Office, too bad. That's what you get.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
I think if this was political, because we saw a lot of these ambushes during the mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter era, the Summer of Love, I feel like they would have said something indicative of that right now. It's almost like they're trying to figure out what, if any, were their connections between this officer and this individual. Well,
Greenville Police and Greenville County Sheriff's Office are being very careful, as they always are, and they're trying to make sure that to me, it appears they're trying to make sure they're doing everything they should have done, and that, you know, that they have some accountability there. Obviously, this is already turned over to SLED. They'll be the ones investigating it, and that'll be it. And as Sheriff Hobart Lewis has said, that there'll be a their community report that they do on YouTube in, I think, late February, which is their standard procedure. Anytime there's Greenville County Sheriff's Office shooting involved, they do a community video, which they present their evidence that they have, that here's what we say happened, here's what our people did, here's what we believe happened, and release that to the public on YouTube.
Yeah.
So that'll be forthcoming late next month.
I will say this. They got the guy fast, 1 hour and 10 minutes. He was dead.
Well, there's plenty of video cameras around that area. Yeah. I mean, we don't obviously have – the public doesn't necessarily have access to it, but those cameras were working, unlike some places in some states in this country.
Yes. Yes. So I'm hoping we get some answers before February 25th. That is a huge thing when an officer is ambushed.
Yeah,
so
that's an extremely serious situation.
Yes.
And, you know, whether it was someone that was specifically targeted because of a personal relationship, or whether this was a disgruntled citizen that was wanted to take it out on law enforcement in general, that's an important question to answer.
Absolutely. We'll keep our eye on it. Keep it tuned right here to 98.9 WORD. Okay. Coming up next, one of the most incredible news segments I have ever done. It's about new weaponry technology that America has and how it's going to be a game changer worldwide. Coming up next. Folks, don't miss what is happening in Iran right now and why. The why is as important as what. Protests so big they haven't seen them since 1979. People naming streets after Trump. These poor protesters. Even as they're murdered and massacred in the streets, they don't give up. Over 500 of them. And by the way, they've announced in Iran, if you get arrested for protesting, it's a death sentence. They just automatically execute you, and they are. They've laid out the bodies and the body bags. Why is this happening now? Because the Democrat Party's oppression of the poor Iranian people has finally ended. You notice what's missing? Our side is cheering for Iran. You can see it on X. Man, we love some freedom. We've got freedom in our blood as Americans. We're cheering for them. You see, the Democrat leadership's quiet. Do you notice that? Yeah, because their repression of the Iranian people is about to come to an end under Donald Trump. Why? Let's go over the history here so you can understand why is this happening now. This is very important. Hold on with the music, Tim, real quick. Street protests began in Iran after Obama took office. Remember, he was immaculated and he got the Pulitzer Peace Prize for being black while being president simultaneously, but not really for doing anything. Well, the young people made the mistake in Iran of thinking, oh, he likes freedom. He likes young people like him. And they rose up in the streets thinking he'd back them. They put their necks out on the line. Well, the youth made a critical error of thinking he would back them, not understanding Obama was a totalitarian. Obama betrayed them brutally, backed the brutal leaders of Iran instead, remember sending them pallets of cash to keep them in power and lying to Congress about how much was on the pallets. Billions he sent to keep them in power and help them build their nuclear weapons. And Trump took office and put those crippling sanctions on, right? And Iran was on the verge of collapsing in terms of the dictatorship was collapsing under Trump. And I said, if you listen to me for a long time, I said, you know, one of the saddest things about Joe Biden winning was that those poor people were going to be subjected to the dictatorship again, because Biden immediately changed methods and sent Iran's brutal dictatorship $100 billion that Trump had frozen in order to keep the mullahs in power and the nukes developed, the nuclear weapons developed. I mean, this was, the Democrat Party in Iran were in lockstep, absolute allies. That's why I said to you, when Democrats come into office, our allies and enemies completely change. Democrats' allies are China and Iran. Those are our enemies. So Trump comes into office, folks. The only reason that the Ayatollah and the mullahs hang on is because of the pallets of cash and then Joe Biden changing methods but sending the $100 billion. Well, Trump comes into office, cuts off the pallets, the cash transfers from the Democrats of the frozen funds, but most importantly, and this is why you're seeing the biggest street protests in 79, Trump blocks the sanctioned Iranian oil from being illegally sold out of Venezuelan ports. That is a death blow, what we're doing with that blockade right now, not just to Venezuela and its dictatorship, but most especially to Iran. Why? Because Iran was moving that oil in to the Venezuelan ports. They were playing do-si-do with it at the port, right? And then out again it went. Think about this for a minute. Last week, you know, remember Trump was chasing that Russian tanker? And Russia's like, no, we'll take it back. You can't have it. Trump's like, oh, hell no, you won't. I'm taking it. Get out of the way. They had that confrontation with Russia. The Bella. Okay, why was the Bella sanctioned? It was sanctioned for what? Moving Iranian oil for an Iranian terror group. Oil doesn't move anymore. That keeps the brutal dictatorship in power. That and Democrat cash transfers from the sale of the oil. That's why the Democrats never enforced the sanctions on Venezuela, because it would have meant cutting off their ally, Iran, and who would fund the Democrat street protests? See? Trump cut off the funds. One, he froze the assets from the oil sale again. They're under tough sanctions. But two, he cut off the oil trade completely using a weapon human beings have never seen before. Wait, what? This is my favorite story of the day, and I'll have it coming up next. We've never seen a weapon, apparently, like the one they used in Venezuela. And folks, we could see Cuba and Iran fall in the coming weeks, as well as the cartels. That's how powerful and game-changing this weapon is. Coming up next. A massacre is unfolding by the Democrat-sponsored dictatorial regime in Iran, kept in power all those years, first by pallets of cash and then by the transfer of over $100 billion that Trump had frozen to the mullahs to keep them in power. Folks, you think you've been brutalized by the Democrats? Nobody's been brutalized like the Iranian people. But that's about to change. Trump is issuing threats.
Well, if they do that, we'll consider things targets they wouldn't believe. If they do that, we will hit them at levels that they've never been hit before. They won't even believe it. I have options that are so strong. So, I mean, if they did that, it'll be met with a very, very powerful force.
What's he talking about? The death toll has tripled. The mullahs and Democrat Inc., because they have been kept in power by Democrat money. That's why the people are in the streets now. They know the Democrat money has stopped. They know the oil has been cut off by Donald Trump, a double blow. They've never been hit this hard. And you know what you're going to see? Let me predict this for you. You're going to see how easy it always was to take Iran down if you don't have the Democrats every other presidential term pumping hundreds of billions of dollars into them and their terrorist outfits. You're about to see that, but you're about to see something else too. The massacre is a massacre is unfolding in Iran as protest death toll hits over 500. But something happened this weekend, something that's huge, not just in history, but human history, something we've never seen before. The best description of this I could find is in a New York Post article called U.S. Used Powerful Mystery Weapon that brought Venezuelan soldiers to their knees during the Maduro raid. Now, I saw this tweet a few days ago, but it was so fantastical, I just didn't believe it. I just didn't mention it. You got 300 of these Cuban intel guys. They're protecting Maduro and his wife in Venezuela. Maduro is behind multiple walls. They feel pretty confident. There's no way the U.S. could get in without a pretty large loss of life on our side, right? But then something happened, according to a Venezuelan soldier who was there. He said, "We were on guard, but suddenly our radar system shut down without any explanation. The next thing we saw were the drones, a lot of drones, flying over our positions. But then it got weird." They knew, obviously, okay, this is an invasion. They expected, you know, massive overwhelming force. But there wasn't. Moments later, a handful of helicopters appeared, barely eight, deploying what he estimated were just 20 U.S. troops into the area against more than 300. This is like a Keanu Reeves action movie or something. Against more than 300 heavily armed Venezuelan guard, many of whom are Cuban intelligence. But those few men, the 20, he said, came armed with something more powerful than guns, guns they've never seen before. They were technologically very advanced, this Venezuelan soldier said. They didn't look like anything we fought against before. What ensued, he said, was not a battle, but a slaughter. We were hundreds, but we had no chance. They were shooting with such precision and speed, it felt like each soldier was firing 300 rounds per minute. Then came the weapon that still haunts him. At one point, they launched something. I don't know how to describe it. He said it was very intense sound wave. Suddenly, I felt like my head was exploding from the inside. The effects were immediate and horrific. We all started bleeding from the nose, he said. Some were vomiting blood. We fell to the ground, unable to move. We couldn't even stand up after that sonic weapon or whatever it was. The White House did not immediately respond to a question, regarding whether Caroline Leavitt's sharing of the post captioned, and Leavitt is his spokesperson, Trump's spokesperson, "Stop what you're doing and read this." But her post seemed to indicate that the eyewitness account by the Venezuelan soldier was true. An estimated 100 Venezuelan security forces were killed in the January 3rd attack. But how? The outmatched defenders were helpless as the small U.S. unit wiped them all out, 20 against 300. Those 20 men, without a single casualty, killed hundreds of us, the soldier claimed. We had no way to compete with their technology, with their weapons. I swear I've never seen anything like it. What? What is this? After the raid, he says, the message couldn't be more clear. Don't tread on Uncle Sam, the Maduro loyalist said. I'm sending a warning to anyone who thinks they can fight the United States. They have no idea what they're capable of, he says, of Trump and the U.S. After what I saw, I never want to be on the other side of that again. They're not to be messed with. The guard, this Venezuelan guard, said the raid has already sent shockwaves across Latin America, especially after President Donald Trump recently warned that Mexico is now on the list, the cartels. Everyone is already talking about this, he says. No one wants to go through what we went through. What happened here is going to change a lot of things, not just in Venezuela, but throughout the region. Well, the news spread. And by this weekend, the mullahs from Iran were calling Trump. They want to talk. Oh, I bet they do. I bet they do. Fox News analyst Claudia Tenney said this after the Maduro raid. It's a game changer, whatever that weapon is.
For the regime to know that the American administration is meeting all of the senior people, all the people, I might add, who planned the Maduro operation, are getting together and discussing these options, that's a big warning to them that they should stop this crackdown. They should start to look at liberalization, ways that they can give the Iranian people their freedom, give them a voice in their government, or else something much stronger is coming.
What? Here's how Trump described this weapon or weapons he has to Bob Woodward.
I have built a weapon system that nobody's ever had in this country before. We have stuff that you haven't even seen or heard about. We have stuff that Putin and Xi have never heard about before.
Wait, I built a weapon system?
I have built a weapon system that nobody's ever had in this country before. We have stuff
that means Biden hasn't had it. The Iranians are obviously very impressed with it. And they want to talk suddenly. Donald Trump, y'all.
I have built a weapon system that nobody's ever had in this country before. We have stuff that you haven't even seen or heard about. We have stuff that Putin and Xi have never heard about before.
And it's making quite an impression. Mueller's called wanting to talk this weekend after word of that weapon got out. A weapon that allowed just 20 men to get off 8 helicopters, walk right in to a viper's den of 300 heavily armed guards protecting Maduro. And these aren't just soldiers. These are Cuban intelligence. And take them out. It was a slaughter, they said. We didn't stand a chance. It was technology like we've never seen before. People just laid out on the floor, vomiting, bleeding from their nose, bleeding from their eyes, bleeding from their mouth, knocked out, unable to get up again. Those guys get in and out without a scratch. It seemed weirdly they were firing 300 rounds a minute, hitting all their targets dead on. We've never seen tech like this. The word, he said, is spreading throughout Latin America. Do you see how the kind of word of this is getting out? Is Trump going into the weekends telling the cartels, you're next? Telling Cuba, hey, do you want to make a deal? Or would you like to experience the weapon? Kind of gives me chills because Trump's using this for good. But it scares the hell out of me, the thought it might ever end up in Democrat hands. I mean, Democrats are absolutely allied with the Chinese, with the Iranians. The Chinese are paying for a lot of the street protests right now that you're seeing against ICE. The Democrats who consider us their worst enemy, the worst enemy, this weapon in their hands, how can you ever put it back in a box? The implications are terrifying. They're good right now. I think what you're going to see is Trump toppling the Cuban regime, toppling the Iranian regime, already toppled the Venezuela regime. And folks, the news of this weapon, now we understand why Venezuela's like, sure, have the oil. How much you want? Yeah, no, you just go ahead. No, we don't want it. You take that oil. Yeah, no, we're good. Fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Number one story in the country right now. Headline. This is the liberal media's headline. Greenland faces fateful moment as Trump says the U.S. will take it one way or another. Donald Trump launched a scathing attack on NATO allies, threatening to annex Greenland despite opposition from the majority of Greenlanders. Huh. The U.S. president also questioned the relevance of NATO. I agree with that. And whether member states would come to America's aid if attacked. Trump claimed U.S. control of Greenland was inevitable to prevent Russia or China from taking over, and he would have it one way or another. As everyone discusses this weapon he developed, God forbid, ever ends up in Democrat hands.